Saying how you'd done me wrong, I grew strong. I learned how to get along, and so you're back from outer space.
We're back on the Millennial Meltdown on ECAV Radio. I am Pete Schulte. Again, if you're just joining us, we're here with Professors Doug Patterson of Astronomy and Physics and Professor Lynn Beatty of Geology. And I've got Lance Martin here, our photo editor from the Campus Ledger. If you're wondering where in the world Josh Morrow is, or DJ Squash for the Millennial Meltdown, we're doing a special talking about The Martian and the science behind the movie and the film. We picked up talking about disco. We're going to move on from that, I promise. I won't beat that horse too hard.
Now on to Three's Company.
Yes, now on to Three's Company. We'll talk about Happy Days and the Fonz, and how I did love how he posed as the Fonz, the one picture that they get back. They're like, I asked him to pose for a picture, and I get the Fonz, really?
That's PR gold, man.
I enjoyed that quite a bit. Yeah, he's still in good spirits, obviously. I don't know why she was so angry about it. That's a great picture. So, well, at one point in the film, the HAB essentially blows apart. Mm-hmm. I believe it was from the pressure.
Under pressure.
Yeah. So, my queen, under pressure. Okay, I'm going to stop because no one wants to hear me sing. So, yeah. See, we are talking about, that's less disco and more a little rock, but it's fine. We'll just make this whole thing about music. So, but during that time, obviously he gets hit by the HAB blowing apart, face shield starts to crack, and then we see him patch it up with what essentially looks like to me duct tape. Mm-hmm. So even in space, duct tape is amazing. So again, fact or fiction, talking about duct tape on Mars, could he have actually done that?
Sure.
Yeah?
I think of Mars as Antarctica. Cold, dry, you know, desert environment. Duct tape works.
Never go without it.
Never leave home without it.
That's right.
I mean,
duct tape and WD-40, man.
I know Doug and only a few people will get this joke, but I mean, I own a Nissan 240SX now, so I mean, I pretty much have duct tape and zip ties.
Zip ties.
At all time. That's my life now. So building on that, I mean, he essentially puts the HAB back together. So I understand that he's a mechanical engineer and the best damn botanist on that planet, which has nothing to do with putting a HAB back together. But is that was the one thing that was a bit of a stretch for me, is him putting the HAB back together with the materials he was given. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, the materials that the HAB is made out of, too, there's an issue with radiation on Mars, since there's not much of an atmosphere and no strong magnetic field. So that was a little area where when we visited with Andy Weir in our class last semester, and I think you asked him that.
Yeah. It's the my thought as I was reading through the book is the whole time Mark Watney's dead. He's dead. He's out there just being soaked in all this radiation that isn't blocked because there is no magnetic field. And talking about the HAB repairs and such, and the types of repairs that he was talking about, yes, he could have done the resin and the patches, and sure, all that is possible, and we have the materials to do that.
Well, because he more or less took the tents apart and used those,
just glued them back together. That's viable. Except that a genuine inflatable structure wouldn't be this flimsy canvas type. It'd be far more robust, a lot thicker. You wouldn't just be cutting it with shears. But yeah, as our conversation with Andy Weir went, he said, well, I just presume they emitted some magical substance and that solved the radiation problem as if by magic.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, well, atmosphere is borderline non-existent. I mean, it can't filter any of that stuff out.
Well, but now, here's the thing. when we think about pressure vessels, right, we always think like a bath escape or submarine. So there you're having to endure a pretty big pressure gradient. How much pressure, as a spacecraft or on Mars, a habitat meant to endure, well, between 0 and 1 atmosphere, right? it's not that much of a pressure gradient, you know, at maximum 14.7 pounds per square inch. How much air is in your tires? You know, the gauge pressure is 45 pounds per square inch. If you got them up, probably about 40 or 35 for a normal sedan. I drive a tiny little car, so my pressures are up. But you know, we think about all this pressure, and well, yes and no. And so I think yes, the materials are easily glued back together, which is pretty much what he did with mm-hmm. it. Yeah, just some resin. It's totally feasible. He's still dead, but.
So we're 0-2. This movie is, the dust storm never happened. He died of radiation. It's fine. He's been deceased. We're done here. It's fine. one other observation I made, which is sort of unrelated to the science behind everything, and more so in terms of how Hollywood tends to portray things. And actually, you know, before I ask that question, let me back up because I did think of a previous question I was going to ask. And Professor Beatty, I'm going to land on you a little bit because I know you've seen the movie, and okay. I know the other two gentlemen here with us have not. In regards to the fact that what Professor Patterson was talking about with the fact that he wouldn't be able to cut that material to shears, it would be thicker, it would be stronger in terms of the stuff he used to repair the HAB. There was the bit in the movie where they did have a little bit of a storm, and you could see the repaired piece of the HAB kind of getting blown way out and sucking back in and blowing way out. That's a small part of the film, and there wasn't really any disaster there, but just when Professor Patterson was talking about the materials it was made of, is that seemed like something that was accurate to you, or?
No, that would just be from a pressure gradient, and a storm would be, compared to stable conditions, would be a good example of how you get a pressure gradient. On Earth, the pressure gradient goes from areas of higher pressure to lower pressure. So if it's higher pressure inside the HAB than outside, then it is going to try to get out. And then the balloon-like door would bulge outwards. And when it's reverse, then it would sort of collapse.
So just more duct tape. Keep that thing on there.
Yeah, because that would probably stretch the material when that happens frequently, so you would have to keep putting more duct tape.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, in all seriousness, I think that's about what he used, just a load of duct tape. So, I mean, we're keeping those folks in business. So, but getting back to the previous point I was referring to is that it seems to me that Hollywood just seems to have a tendency in science fiction movies, space movies, anything that involves science and scientists, to depict scientists, people from NASA, to be sort of a dry, socially awkward, robotic, just I'm all business and I just want to do math problems.
I don't know what you mean.
So.
You saw that coming, right?
That's perfect. So The Martian obviously depicts that very differently. There's a lot of emotion. Mark Watney is frankly hilarious. I mean, at one point, I burst out laughing both when reading the book and when filming or watching the film when he exclaims, you know, when he's talking about building the rover, and he literally just says, well, I'm going to have to science the shit out of this. and also when he talks about being a space pirate, I think I lost it. I really did. It was amazing. And everybody back at home base was very involved, and I really liked how that was a part of the story, to showing that, hey, you know, NASA really is doing literally everything they can. They're throwing all their resources at it. People are working around the clock, and there's a ton of emotion there, with the exception, I suppose, being the oddball Rich Purnell, who's just... He's zoned in on doing math. You know, he's an astrodynamicist, I believe, is his title there, and basic calculating. But for me, that him being the only one like that, whereas I feel like Hollywood traditionally depicts everyone like that, makes his character so much more believable. I'm not really sure where my question was in that mess, but comments, I guess.
Yes. Scientists are people, right? And, well, we have emotions just like everybody else. And, you know, you only need to watch the, 7 Minutes of Terror? Is that what mm-hmm.
that what we started showed? Class with?
Yeah, yeah. So go to YouTube and look up 7 Minutes of Terror. It's about the EDL phase of the Curiosity lander. How they, you know, once you enter the Martian atmosphere, that's it. You have no communications. They're just 7 minutes of We either have a live vehicle on the ground or we have a junkyard on Mars, right? And so during that 7 minutes, you see how tense the control room is. And keep in mind that, you know, it's not that they just got hired that summer. Hey, come do this project with us. This is a project that people have devoted their careers to. Right, they have a decade's worth of work riding on the 7 minutes of putting that vehicle down on the surface of this planet, and then when they get the acknowledgement back that yes, they have a live rover on the surface and healthy, you see the control room just erupt, tears flowing. You know, it's emotional stuff that we do, right?
Yeah. Well, and every time that happened, that's one of my favorite things there. So
yeah.
But we're gonna come back to that. We'll take a quick break here. Again, we're talking about the Martian here on ECAV Radio. We will be right back.